Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-866-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. It was for freedom that Jesus set you free. And this is the day that the Lord has made just for you, my friend. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's always a wonderful thing for me every morning as I get up to say, "Oh, Father, this is the day that you have made for me, and I will rejoice and be glad in it." God has done so much for us, hasn't he? Let's do our Monday Bible slogan. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it tells me to do. This is my Bible. It has given me new life. Oh, just think of your old life before you knew Jesus. Oh, I wouldn't go back to that for anything. And especially as we get older, we're realizing, oh, God has prepared this life for us. And he has done such a great job. Oh, Lord, you've done such a great job. Oh, so he has given me new life. It is the word of God. The Bible is the word, the love letter of God to you. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And the meeting Saturday was so much fun. We just always have such a great time after praise and worship. And it's really interesting how things come together. You're not expecting things, but they happen. And it just kind of fills in and adds to the atmosphere and the joy. There's a lot of laughter all the time. Then we get into our big circle and we discuss the Bible study for that day. And last Saturday, we were discussing Romans 8, verse 2. It's a good thing to know that when we're doing these things, that we pick scripture, not just a topic, but scripture. And then from that scripture, we can just talk and talk and talk for a long time. And so it was just a wonderful time. And the next meeting is April the 8th. Be sure and circle that date because it's going to be a wonderful time. We're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what his blood means for us. It really is wonderful. And the verse of scripture that we're going to be focused on this week is John 6, verse 63. Remember, Jesus is speaking in most of these verses in John. So listen up. Listen up. These are Jesus' words. "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life." It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh, the King James and the New American Standard says, profits nothing. Now, in the Amplified Translation, John 6, verse 63 says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. He is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit whatsoever. There is no profit in it. The words and truths that I'm speaking to you are spirit and life." So what do you focus on in your day? Is it mostly mental? Is it physical? Is it spiritual? See, we don't put all our waking hours into physical activities. And boy, that goes against the American way. Whoa, we need to be physical. We need to run in the morning. We need to do all kinds of physical things. We have to make sure that our house is in order. So those are physical things. We've got to go out in the yard now and dig up and get our garden ready. Those are physical things. How much do you put in the spirit? How much time do you give to the Spirit? That's what we've got to talk about, especially as believers in Jesus Christ. I'm not talking to a worldly audience, not here on KLTT. Most of the time, I'm talking to people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they are walking that wonderful journey into holiness, knowing Him more and more. So I just want you to know that the flesh profits very little, because we leave our fleshly body when we die and we take our spirit with us into heaven, and God has a heavenly suit ready for us, but we leave that fleshly body here. Now, the Passion Translation of John 6, verse 63 says, Holy Spirit is the one who gives life. He is. If that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it's Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead. That which is of the natural realm is of no help. No help in our spiritual journey. The words I speak to you are spirit and life. Jesus is saying right here, the words that you're reading in your word every day, the words that I'm speaking to you through the word that you're reading, they are life and they are spirit. I love that. Love that verse. We're going to be talking about John 6, 63. And because Kimberly and Levi and Matthew are in Israel, I'm going to have the whole week to myself. So you get Barbara all week long. Unless one of you wants to come in and join me in the studio, you are always more than welcome. Amen. Amen. Confession for today by Rick Renner. I declare that I don't hold grudges or bitterness against anyone who has wronged me in the past. Now, sometimes that has to take you back years and years. Like, as old as I am, I got to go back, you know, back 60 years, maybe even 70 years, and ask, okay, God, is there anybody, Father, is there anybody that I have any ought against, that I have any offense against? We've got to go back there and make sure that that's forgiven. Rick goes on to say, just as I've been forgiven, I freely forgive. As others gave me a second chance, I give people the benefit of the doubt and allow them to prove themselves, even if they've done something to hurt me. The devil can't paralyze me with fears of being hurt again, because I refuse to allow that kind of fear to operate inside me. I have too much to do to let the devil immobilize me with something that happened to me in the past. So I confess right now that I'm freed from every past hurt, and I'm moving forward to possess all that God has for me. That's right. It's just too important what God has planned for us in this life to go back and be stuck in a mess of unforgiveness. So right now you can say, Father God, I just speak forgiveness to all my past. All of those who have hurt me, I forgive them in the mighty name of Jesus. And I give it to you. I lay it down. No more thinking about it. No more fuming about it. No more. And thank you so much, Rick Renner. That's great. Jesus told us, and I'm going back a little bit last week. Jesus told us in Luke 17, 3 through 10, and this is in the Living Translation, watch yourselves. If another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then if there is repentance, forgive. See, he's not like he used to be. We talked about that Saturday. Don't label a person, and then when they've accepted the Lord Jesus, work with them, because that person is not who he used to be. So quit labeling him about what he used to be. You're talking now to a new person, a person who is growing and working. It's like when you're in school, when you're in grade school, and you're learning the 1, 2, 3s, and you're learning how to add and subtract. When you get into junior high and you're studying algebra, you don't say, oh, well, all he knows is the is 1, 2, 3. Huh. He's graduated from that, and he's going into algebra. He's a new mathematician in a way. So that's what we've got to do. We've got to look at those people in a new light. And even Jesus goes on to say in Luke 17, even if that person wrongs you seven times a day, and each time turns again and asks forgiveness. I know it can be kind of frustrating, but you must forgive. The apostle said to the Lord, show us how to increase our faith. And Jesus answered, if you have faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may you be uprooted and thrown into the sea. It will obey you. So the faith that Jesus is talking to you about is a tiny little faith. You don't need gigantic faith. No, you don't. A tiny little bit of faith is going to get you through your day. Praise God. Jesus said in verse 7 of Luke 17, when a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, come in and eat with me? No. He says to the servant, prepare my meal, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat. It used to be Darren when he came home. Get me a cup of coffee. Is supper ready? Because Darren hardly knew how to boil water. But so he would come in and he would ask me, you know, prepare my meal. I didn't put on my apron. That doesn't work anymore. And serve me while I eat. Well, I sat down with him while we ate. But that does not require somebody on an equal basis. When you're serving, you are a servant. And that's what Jesus was trying to get across to his disciples. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, we are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty. And we shouldn't expect any accolades and any whoop-de-doo, you've done it, a pat on the back, honors, awards, rewards. No, we are doing the will of God in our life every day. It should be that simple. Like the fresh oil I was speaking of last week, Holy Spirit is desiring to pour out on God's people, and we need to have a preparation in receiving God's words in our lives. If you come off a worldly shopping spree, I've done that, or a night on the town, and you expect to get a word from the Lord, you're probably going to be disappointed. You must spend some time with Him in order to receive the fresh oil. And as I said in Hosea 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they've rejected knowledge. They've rejected what this word tells them. They don't know me. God says, you don't know me because you've rejected my knowledge, this rich word that I've given to you. Most people's ignorance of spiritual laws result in what is happening to them. They say, well, why did God do this to me? It wasn't God. It was a decision you made. It wasn't God at all. Think of the decisions you make every day. Hundreds and hundreds of decisions. How many decisions are you lining up with the Word of God? And how many are you just, you know, spinning the bottle and whatever it hits, boy, you're going to do it. See, we've got to become word people. Romans 8, verse 2 tells us the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Praise God. Law number one functions. That law number one, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, functions with your faith in Jesus Christ. And it turns on the life cycle. Life cycle includes goodness, joy, faithfulness, truth, all of those good things. And that's what comes because you're serving Jesus Christ in the cycle of life. I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly, Jesus said. Now, the second law, the law of sin and death, operates by fear. Satan is always trying to get us to think that God's not going to bring about what he promised to us. That's it. That's what Satan throws at every believer. Well, God's not going to do that. Nuh-uh. No. In fact, when you go back to the Garden of Eden, the devil, Lucifer, the serpent, he was questioning, oh, God didn't say that, did he? See, we always have those little thoughts in our minds, and we've got to cast those down. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, you can rationalize it all you want and justify the path of error you have chosen, but you'll find out in the end that you took the road to destruction. It's your decision to make. God says in Deuteronomy 30, I've placed before you life and death, blessing and cursing. I want you to have life. I want you to choose life. And so many of us, we think we're too educated. We have all of our awards and all of our degrees, and we even have our master's degrees and our wonderful education. It's not so wonderful when you put it up against the Word of God. It really isn't. That thinking of that humanistic thinking leads us down to a death stream, leads us to death. And it's your decision to decide to serve God and begin to learn the instructions that God has given to you in the Word. And you decide to turn off the death cycle by beginning to speak, yes, speak with your mouth. You can change your life by the way you speak. In Matthew 12, 37, Jesus said, by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. It's the words that come out of your mouth, friend, that make you who you are. That's why Paul gave us the awesome scripture in Romans 8, verse 6. The mindset on the flesh is death. It goes kind of along with John 6, 63. It is the spirit that gives life. The mindset on the flesh, on the things of this world, the senses. Oh, I'm so hungry. Saturday, dear brother, we were talking about that, what our senses tell us. And, you know, you can leave, well, like I will leave here, and I go by several restaurants. Oh, that looks so good. I'm hungry. I think I'll go get something. Well, our friend Saturday, he had fasted for a week, and he was sitting in church. And this is not putting him down at all. We've all gone through this. He was sitting in church after that long fast. It was a week fast. That's a fast. And he said, all of a sudden, all I could see was German chocolate cake in front of me. So he said, after church, I got up and I went to the grocery store and I took that piece of cake that I got and I just ate it in the car, all of it. Well, we've done that. The gluttony is always there in front of us. So the mindset on the flesh, oh yeah, that looks so good, is death. I remember, do you remember this restaurant? Something about Friday. Anyway, they had a death by chocolate. It was a dessert. It was almost half of a chocolate cake, and it was chocolate underneath its crust, and it was ice cream on top, and then it was hot chocolate. Oh, it was wonderful over the top, just poured over the top. And it was quite the dessert. Well, the mindset on the spirit is life and peace. Your mind picks up on what you're hearing. What are you listening to? Colossians 3:2 tells us to feast on the treasures of the heavenly realm, God's word, and fill our thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. So what do we dwell on? Paul tells us in Philippians 4, verse 8, keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real. You can't listen to CNN and NBC, whatever that is. You can't be listening to those programs all day long and be thinking authentic and real, because they're not. So continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. Fasten those thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always, and the God of peace will be with you in all things. The God of peace. What a wonderful realization that if we think real reality, if we think pure, if we think holy, if we think all that is good, fruit of Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Oh, that's so good. Gentleness and self-control. If we think on those things, oh, but Barbara, I don't do that every day. Well, we are learning. We're in school. We are being tested. Remember when you were in school and the teacher would say, we're having a pop quiz today? Okay, you can say that you're in school and Holy Spirit every day is giving you a new challenge. And He's not putting you down if you don't know. But as we begin to learn, we begin to change. Begin to learn, begin to change. Praise God. It's like the word grace. I just sent out the receipts today and I have on each receipt, grace equals growth. Jesus' grace through Jesus Christ equals our growth. And it's so important. There are five things that indicate God is speaking to you. Number one, when God speaks to you, it will go against the reason of the world. Number two, when God speaks to you, it lines up with the written word of God. Number three, when God speaks to you, it requires faith to follow His directions. Number four, when God speaks, it will require courage. Be strong and of good courage. Oh, it's so important. And number five, when God speaks to you, there will be peace. If I have a decision to make, the one thing that I look for in making that decision, do I have peace in making this decision? Or am I confused? Or is there fear evident in what I'm doing with making this decision? And when I have peace, I know that's God's will. That's such an important thing for you to remember. One word of God can change your whole life. It's important that you maintain a spirit of expectancy and faith, saying, I have ears to hear from God. And the miracles that happened in the Gospels were performed on people who had high expectancies that Jesus was going to meet their needs. And when he met their needs, it was a blessed life. It was a wonderful new life. And that's what's happening to us, friends. We're living a wonderful, fulfilled life in Jesus Christ. Greatly blessed and highly favored. Here's the Gaither Vocal Band.
Greatly blessed and highly favored, imperfect but forgiven child of God. Greatly blessed and highly favored, imperfect but forgiven child of God. Greatly blessed, favored, imperfect but forgiven child of God. Greatly blessed and highly favored, imperfect but forgiven child of God. Standing up and highly favored, imperfect but forgiven child of God. Greatly blessed and highly favored, imperfect but forgiven child of God.
Praise the Lord. Say with me, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Praise the Lord. All the people that Jesus touched, and as you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's the life of the earthly life of Jesus, you will realize that all the people that Jesus touched and healed were greatly blessed, and they had faith. All of them had faith. Even the little boy in Mark 9, I'm going to talk about that here. But three basic items are necessary for increasing our faith. First, there needs to be adequate desire to do so. You got to want to. Well, I want to live for Jesus. I want to grow in him. I want to be a better person. So I'm going to believe the word of God and believe that he's going to give me more faith to get this journey that I'm on, to get this assignment that he's given to me completed by the time I go to be with him. It must be important enough to us. The father of the possessed boy certainly had the desire for greater faith. Now, the boy didn't have the faith because he was under the spiritual covering of the father. He was a little boy. And so until we are at that age of maturity, when we go out from our father and mother and establish our own lifestyles, we are under their spiritual covering and their responsibility and their authority. So the father of that little possessed boy in Mark 9 came to Jesus because the disciples couldn't heal the boy. Now, we must respond by faith, must respond by faith. There needs to be a molding of our wills to God's will for us. And James points out that faith without works is death. So is dead. So we help when the father realized that Jesus was coming to him and talking to him about his son. Well, what has happened to your son? What's going on with your son? And the man says, well, the demon keeps throwing him into the fire and he's hurt. And I just don't know what to do. And the disciples didn't do anything. It's not that the father did not believe at all. If he had no faith, he would not have asked Jesus for help at all. That's right. He evidently had enough faith to come to the conclusion that it was worth a shot. Wow, my son is going to die unless I get some help. And so he heard of Jesus. And we're going to talk tomorrow about Bartimaeus. We're going to, you know, we're going to go to Jesus with my son. And when he advised that his faith was lacking because he had not convinced that Jesus could do what was necessary, when Jesus, he said, oh, Lord, you can heal my boy. And Jesus went right back at him and says, you can. It's all possible. Everything's possible with faith. And he affirmed his belief in Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus, help my unbelief. And Jesus came back and said, that's right. It's your faith that I'm going to heal this boy that's going to get him healed. And then requested help with his unbelief. He seemed to realize that his faith in Jesus was weaker than it ought to be. He asked for help to make his belief stronger and his doubting less. That was certainly an appropriate request. It is. It always is. It probably is for as it's the same for us today as well, at least in the more troublesome times of our lives when we lack confidence. We go to Jesus. We say, Jesus, I need your faith to get me through this. Give me the faith that I need in believing in you, that you're able to make all of this worthwhile, that you're able to answer my request, that you're able to meet my need today. And he will. He'll do it for you, friend. He will. He's done it for me. He will do it for me until he calls me home. So we're going to talk about faith and what it requires in listening to God's voice again tomorrow. God bless you and keep you. And the last word I have to say to you is take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-866-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.